One thing a lot of people don't realize is that chapters 9, 10, and 11 of Romans are Jewish. They're all about Israel. Even though chapter 10 gets used so much in what's called the Romans Road to Salvation, all three of these chapters are about Israel. And so he introduces that concept here in chapter 9, where we will look at the first five verses together. He says, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promise, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." So tonight, pertaineth to Israel is our title. Let's pray. We pray for your wisdom, we pray for your guidance, and for your power. Lord, as we look into your word briefly this evening, use it to teach us and to change us. We love you and commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul here, revealing his heart, even though he was the apostle to the Gentiles, and even though this was written to a Gentile church, the church at Rome, Paul's burden for his own flesh and blood never went away. He always had this burden to see Israel saved, to see Jews saved. And what a burden it was. But like I said, chapters 9, 10, 11, look at chapter 10, verse 1, and I'll show you. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And if you look at chapter 11, verse 1, he says, "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not that the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel?" And so forth. So, beginning of chapter 9, beginning of chapter 10, beginning of chapter 11 are all about Paul's burden for the Jews, for Israel. And what a burden he had. You know, this is nothing new. If you go way back to Psalm 119, David had a burden for Israel. David, of course, was a great king of Israel, but he also had a heart for Israel. Notice he says here in chapter 119, verse 136. Sorry, I didn't give you the reference of the longest chapter in the Bible. 119, 136, he says, "Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law." So even in the days of David, he said, "I cry because of those who don't keep God's law." In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1, we'll see it again. Jeremiah also had a burden for Israel. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1, he says, "Oh, that my head were waters," Jeremiah 9, 1, "and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." And Paul, of course, carries this on, this burden that he had to see Jews saved. And as we'll see in this passage, they are God's people. Not in the same sense that we are. As we become the children of God through salvation in Christ, but through blood, through being descendants of Abraham, they are still a chosen nation, and they will still receive a kingdom that is theirs. But his burden was so heavy, if you go back to Romans 9, he made this amazing statement in verse 3. Most Christians would never be willing to make such a statement and mean it. But he said, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren." Can you imagine actually saying and meaning it? I could wish that I could go to hell so that Israel could be saved. That's what he's saying. Saying, if it were possible, if God would allow such an exchange, which God will not, because we're each accountable for our own soul. But he said, if it were allowed, I could wish that I could go to hell and burn forever in hell so that Israel could go to heaven. Talk about a burden. And Moses had a similar statement. If you go to Exodus 32, remember in Exodus, while Moses was collecting the law, Aaron led the people to disobey God in many different ways. And then God threatened to essentially wipe them out and start over with Moses. They would have still been descendants of Abraham. The Bible would have still been fulfilled. So imagine that God came to one of us and said, how about if I just do what I did with Noah and I just kill everybody on the earth and start over with you? It would almost be appealing, wouldn't it? But Moses' answer, verse 32 of 32, look what he said. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. He's talking here about the book of life. He's saying, Lord, if you will not forgive them for their sin, and their sin was great, worshiping an idol, having a drunken party, disobeying God in so many different ways. He said, if you will not forgive them, then blot me out of your book. Let me go to hell. Quite a burden. That's when your heart is truly broken for the lost. And yet we are told as Christians in Psalm 126, verse 5, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And so God wants us to have a similar burden for the lost that Paul had, that others had. But Paul here is weeping literally over his people. But then he's also reminding us, let's go to verse 4, where we get into the heart of this passage, Romans 9, 4, that this is all about Israel. Notice he said, who are the Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? That's quite a list, isn't it? When you look at the most commonly occurring words in the Bible, after you get past Lord and God, words like that, the word Israel is in the Bible over 2,500 times. This is a Jewish book written by Jews. And it's about a Jewish Messiah named Jesus Christ who came to offer the Jews their Jewish kingdom. Amen? And will return one day to the earth to set up his Jewish kingdom. And lest we ever forget, it's all about Israel. And that will never change. It all pertains to them. If you go to Deuteronomy 7, it started way back in the days, in the early days, when Israel was in the desert. Deuteronomy 7, 6. Look what he said. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. What a statement. Above all people that are on the face of the earth, you are a special people. Now, they're not special because of who they are. They're special because God chose them to be special, didn't he? He chose Abraham to found a new nation. Just like you and I, we're not special to God because of who we are. We're special to God because of who he is. And he, out of his kindness, offers us eternal life through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And in Genesis 17, if you want to turn there, God was repeating his covenant with Abraham, Genesis chapter 17, verse 7. Because Paul even mentions the covenants. And look what he said, and I will establish, Genesis 17, 7, my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations. Look at this next phrase, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So people who teach what's called covenant theology are just wrong. And if you don't know what that is, it's not complicated. It's basically the teaching that God is done with Israel and the church has taken their place. The church has supplanted them. And now all the promises made to Israel, we can grab as the church and say they're for us. Well, what do you do with verses like this, where he says, this is a covenant for an everlasting covenant. And this is what you would call an unconditional covenant. Yes, God made many covenants with Israel that were conditional. If you will do this, I will do this. But he also made many unconditional covenants to Israel. And by that, he said, this is what I'm going to do, independent of what you do. And the first covenant, of course, he made was with Abraham. He said, I'm going to make a nation of you, and it will last forever. And those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. Genesis 12, that still stands. The Abrahamic covenant, unconditional. Then he modified it, not modified it, but refined it, if you will, in Deuteronomy 30, in the Palestinian covenant, and said, not only are you going to be a nation forever, but now here are the boundaries of your land, and this is your land forever. Well, no wonder they're fighting over it. Because the Muslims also make claim to Abraham and say, well, it's our land. And the Jews say, no, it's our land. How do you work that one out? Then he refined it more in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and said, not only are you going to be a nation forever, and this is going to be your land forever, but I'm going to give you a king forever. After David. He said it to David, and he said, a descendant of David will sit on the throne of Israel forever. And the throne that's in the kingdom that's yet in the future, the millennial kingdom, is referred to as the throne of David. And then he refined it one last time over in Jeremiah chapter 31 in the new covenant and said, one day I'm going to give you a new heart. And you're going to accept me as your God, and you're going to be my people again, and you will get your kingdom. These are all unconditional covenants made not to the church, but to Israel. And they all will stand, amen, because God always keeps his word. So go to Romans 11:12 now, where Paul again is talking about Israel. And he mentions the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the law and the service and the promises. But notice here in Romans 11, verse 12, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? He says, yes, Israel in this current dispensation is essentially rejecting their Messiah. But God is not finished with them yet. One day they will have their fullness. Even in the early days of the church, Acts chapter 3, turn there, when the apostles were preaching to the Jews, they tried to help the Jews see it, that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. But they never saw it. But notice here in Acts chapter 3, verse 25, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. This is the church age, and he's preaching to Jews, trying to get them to come to Jesus Christ, and he reminds them about the covenant that God made with Abraham. And saying, Jesus Christ is, when God said, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed, and in thy seed, he's talking about Jesus. How many people have come to the Lord and have been rescued from hell through Jesus, a descendant of Abraham? So it's all Jewish. He mentioned the law and the word. Notice Romans chapter 3, verse 2, if you would. Much every way chiefly, Romans 3, 2, because that unto them, talking about the Jews, were committed the oracles of God, which we're holding in our hand. The oracles of God. That's the word of God. He says, unto them, the Jews, were committed the oracles of God. This is a Jewish book. Old Testament, Jewish. New Testament, Jewish. And then in Hebrews chapter 6, if you want to turn over there, he actually, in the New Testament, of all places, in a book called Hebrews, what does he say here in 6:13? For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And if you track human history, you know what you find? Nations that stood with Israel, God blessed. Nations that turned their back on Israel, God removed his hand of blessing. Just give you one example. When you look at the UK, used to be the greatest nation on earth, right? They used to, their navy ruled the entire world. And they owned nations around the entire world, this one included. What happened? Well, read through the history and see what happened in 1948 or in the 1940s when Israel was given an opportunity to become a nation. The UK voted against it. And now they've gone from being the country that sent missionaries around the world to a mission field. How could that happen? Well, they turned their back on Israel. And so God turned his back on them. And that's just one example. But if you look at history, every time a nation decided to turn their back on the Jews, God withdrew his blessing from that nation. We're talking centuries ago, and we're talking even recently. And it will always be that way, because Genesis chapter 12 will always stand. Because it was a covenant made to the Israelites, and it was unconditional. This is always going to be true. And so they were given... To them pertaineth, verse 4, the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the law, the service, and the promises. Aren't you thankful for the promises? If it wasn't for the Jews, we wouldn't have them. So it's just introductory, this passage, but these three chapters are primarily about Israel and how it all pertaineth to Israel. And you and I are fortunate enough to be grafted in, as we'll see. By the way, that passage is in Romans chapter 9. You'll find that we are fortunate enough to be grafted in to God's future program of his kingdom blessings and eternity. But it's all Jewish. The kingdom's all Jewish. And hallelujah, we are allowed to be a part of it through Jesus Christ. So all of these things, as we will see as we walk through these three chapters, pertaineth to Israel. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful introduction to these three chapters and how this book is all about the Jews and given to us by the Jews, and that Jesus Christ was a Jew and the apostles were Jews. How fortunate are we to have Christ as our Savior and to be allowed to be a part of that Jewish kingdom yet to come. For that we thank you, Lord, and may we just constantly pray for your people, Israel, knowing that one day we will spend eternity with them, those who go into the kingdom. In the meantime, Lord, may we always stand with them. And so we're grateful for your word and speaking to